Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to College Football Roundup. I am the football expert here, joined by American Football Network. Make sure that you go ahead and hit that subscribe button down below, whether you are on the podcast form or whether you're on the YouTube form. Make sure that you check out both. Also, make sure that you check out our other football channels, whether that be the Football Expert or American Football Network. Both links will be down in the description. How you doing, Lincoln, and what are your thoughts as we get into football season, entering into the month of June?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited about football. I think I saw something the other day that says we have, like, I think it's 97 or 96 days until the start of the season now, and it's going to start out good. I know week one we got Florida State, LSU. We got Clemson and Duke. We got Navy and Notre Dame and Ireland. So there's a bunch of good games right out of the gate week one. To get us started off, Florida State, LSU last year may have been the best game that we saw in the regular season. And then to get that one again, week one, both of these teams going to be better. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and really one of the things that I find interesting is all those games that you mentioned, none of them are on Saturday of week one. Notre Dame and Navy is a week zero game. LSU and Florida State is the Sunday night game. And Duke and Clemson is the Monday Labor Night game.
Yeah,
so really
basically the same schedule, because last year Florida State LSU was Sunday and Clemson Georgia Tech was the Monday game.
Yeah, so it should be a really interesting schedule. So we're going to get into today's video. Today's video is going to be discussing Phil Steele's preseason predicted top 10. And the reason why we use Phil Steele is because generally he is very right about these preseason top 10. So we're going to use that as our basis of what most football fans, of what the AP voters will think going into the season, their top 10, and then what we think at the end of season and our top 10 will be. So at number 10, who do you have there, Lincoln?
At number 10, I have Alabama. I think they'll go about like you did in your prediction video, about 10-2, 11-1, something like that. But I do think they miss out on the SEC championship again. I don't think they make it. I think there's a few teams in the West that I think could give them some trouble. Just overall in the SEC in general. And so I think Bama, they have a solid defense still, good pieces on offense, but they got to get that quarterback position figured out. And we see the reunited Tyler Buckner and Tommy Rees together. So maybe that helps them do good. But Buckner was very inconsistent last year. He would, you know, one play he'd look great, and the very next play it was like, what the heck are you doing? So he's got to figure a lot of stuff out. You know, and I think Bama's still talented, but I just don't think that they're going to have a great season and be in the playoff like they're used to doing.
Yeah. And my bad, forgot about Phil Steele's top 10. So I'm going to quickly go over that, and then I'll give you my number 10 team. So at number 10, Notre Dame. At number 9, USC. Number 8, Clemson. Number 7, Florida State. Number 6, LSU. Number 5, Penn State. Number 4, Michigan. Number 3, Ohio State. Number 2, Alabama. And number 1, Georgia. So with my number 10 team, I have Utah. I think that Utah is the second best team in the Pac-12. I think that they have a lot of good things going there. But the reason for having them at number 10 rather than a little bit higher is I think that there's a couple losses on that schedule is what I could see. Possibly you have a road game against Oregon. You have a home game against Oregon. You have a road game against Oregon State. You have a road game against Washington. You have a road game against USC. You have a home game against Florida, you have a road game against Baylor. It's going to be a tough schedule. This is not going to be an easy year for Utah walking through the Pac-12 like they have the past couple of years. So I think that they're still a top 10 team. And with Cameron Rising coming back, I think it's hard for them not to be a top 10 team. But I think 10 is pretty much the spot that I'll have them at. So
yeah, Utah was a team that I considered. They were kind of in that just miss group. I think that they could – if I were to go all the way to 15, I would have them at either 11 or 12. It was very hard as of right now in May to really nail it down where I think that they're going to go. And so they just missed mine, but not by much.
So who's your number 9 team entering into the season?
At number 9, I have Florida State. I think they have a few games that could not go their way. They have a few tough matchups. And then people, you know, nobody's really high on Florida, but that is a rivalry game. And I believe it's in the Swamp this year, correct? Or
no,
it's
Florida and who?
I think it's in Tallahassee this year.
I think it's in Tallahassee. I'm not 100%.
Either way, that's still going to be a hard game, especially if it's on the road, just because it's a rivalry game and you never know what you're going to get out of that. So I think Florida State will lose one or two games in the regular season. I think they're a very good team. I could easily see them up this list and in the top four, but I haven't seen anything out of Florida State the last few years. Like, they've never really proven that they can get to that level. And so I think we still, you know, just have to wait and see with Florida State. And I think this is a safe spot to put them until they prove that they can get back to the playoff.
Correct. So at number nine, I am going to have a little bit of a shocker here. I'm going to have Illinois. I think that Illinois was a very good team last year. You have a great environment set up by Brett Bielema last year. You had Chase Brown. You had a good overall defense. Obviously, you had half of your secondary drafted last year, and Devon Witherspoon and Sidney Brown. And who was the other guy? Who was the other safety?
Sidney Brown, and there was another one. He went like in the first four rounds too.
I can't think of his name. I
can't think of his name. Hold up.
But keep I'll going. Continue I'll on. Up. Okay. So with Illinois, I think that they have a good shot at competing for the Big Ten title. I personally have them in the Big Ten title game. I think that you have some tough games at Maryland. Wisconsin's not going to be an easy one. At Iowa's not going to be an easy one. But I think you can finish with a 10-2 record. You have to head to Kansas. That's not going to be an easy walk in the park. But your other non-conference games, Toledo, Florida Atlantic, those aren't that bad, especially compared to what it has been in previous years. And you don't have to play Michigan. You don't have to play Penn State early on in the season, which I think is good with the new quarterback. And you don't have to play Ohio State. So I think Illinois is in a good spot to be able to make that kind of top 10 borderline. So Lincoln, who do you have at number eight?
At number eight, I have Texas. The other DB taken was Jartavius Martin. He actually went second round ahead of Sidney Brown. But, yeah, I have Texas. I think Texas will beat Alabama in week two. I think they win that game. I think either Quinn Ewers, who I think is going to be the starter, I think he's a potential dark horse Heisman candidate. For the bettors out there, there's a – very good money line to put some money down on Quinn Ewers when the Heisman to get a huge payout if he does. But even if Arch Manning is the quarterback, I think Texas beats Alabama regardless. And I think they bring back a lot of talent. Obviously, they lose their top two running backs in Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson. But, you know, they still have a lot of talent around that team. They're getting better. The quarterback position will be even better. And we look at last year with Hudson Card playing basically the entire game with Quinn Ewers, was tearing them up, just lighting Alabama up in the first. I think he only played like two drives.
He played till that second quarter.
Second quarter. It was like, I think they only had it like twice though. It might've been in the third. It was the third or fourth drive. He got hurt taking out of the game, and they still only lost by 1 point. I know it's going to be in Alabama this year, I think. Because it was at Texas last year, so in Alabama. Yep. But I think week two, this Alabama team has a lot of question marks and too much to figure out before they can face a team like Texas in week two.
Yeah, so my number eight team is Texas. I think that Texas is they're a good program. Generally, they have had a lot of struggles in recent years. You've had some issues from quarterback play to coaching issues to all sorts of things. But I think with Quinn Ewers, you're looking at a little bit easier of a Big 12. There really isn't too many teams that man, they're really going to be great this year. You're looking at it a little bit weaker. You have to play Alabama, but I personally think they beat Alabama. I think that Alabama early on in the season is going to be a little bit vulnerable. If they played them in like week 7-8, then I think it'd be I think it would probably go in Alabama's favor. But with it being in week two, I think it's going to go in Texas's favor. So,
and I Lincoln, really don't think that game's going to be particularly close either.
It's possible. It could be a big struggle, but it's going to be an interesting matchup nonetheless.
Yeah.
So number seven.
At number seven, I have USC. I like what they do on offense. The problem with this team and all Lincoln Riley teams so far in his career of coaching is they just don't have defense. And I think USC is going to get shredded once again by Utah until they don't until they can stop them, because right now they don't have a defense. I think Utah will probably beat them. And there are some other games on that schedule. I think they play Oregon, correct?
Utah or
USC. Don't they play
Oregon? USC. Yes, I think they do.
And or I know they play Oregon State. And I think they'll lose. I think they could potentially lose that one too.
They're scheduled. They play Notre Dame, Utah, at Oregon, and UCLA and Washington. Washington, UCLA, and Utah are all at home. Notre Dame and Oregon are on the road.
I think they'll lose both the Oregon game and the Utah game, and I think the other three very well could be losses. Like, I think at this point they're 50-50 matchups just because of Caleb Williams. But if he gets injured or some guys around them don't step up, they could very easily lose every single one of those games.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So for my number seven team, I'm going to have the Florida State Seminoles. I think the Seminoles are probably the best team in the ACC. I think that they're the most they're the most experienced. I think that's for sure. I think that they have a lot of talent at the quarterback position, at the wide receiver position particularly. I agree with Phil Steele. I have them at seven. I think that they're going to be a good and complete team, and I think that they're the team that, at least in the regular season, I think that they're going to win the ACC title.
Yeah, I think that they're going to have a tough time coming to Clemson, and I think that right there is going to be the game for the regular season title in the ACC, and I have a hard time seeing the winner of that game winning the ACC championship and winning, because, I mean, to beat both of these teams are probably top 10 teams at the lowest top 15, and it's hard to beat a top 15 team two times in the same season. So I personally think whoever wins that first game probably loses the second game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So who do you have at number six?
So at number six, I have Clemson. I think they will lose one game in the regular season, but I think they will be the ACC champions. I think they'll lose to Florida State at home. That's kind of during a rough stretch they have right there. I think they'll lose that game, but they have a lot of big games on their schedule. First off, opening up at Duke, that's not going to be an easy game. The way Riley Leonard played last year, that is not going to be easy. This is not the Duke that you played back in 2014, 2015, somewhere in that area. This is not the same team. And then you have Notre Dame at home, you have Florida State at home, I believe you have North Carolina at home, but you go on the road to South Carolina. So there's a few big games on that schedule for Clemson, and it's going to be interesting to me if they're able to navigate through that. I think getting Garrett Riley is a big plus. I think the offense will look different this year, but we'll see if it is better this year.
Yeah, definitely. At number six for me, I have the Buckeyes. I think that the Buckeyes, they lose to Michigan, and I have them beating Notre Dame, but I think that they also lose another game somewhere, whether that's at Maryland, whether that's against Notre Dame or whoever. I think that they get two losses on that schedule, and because of that, I think they finish at number six. They're going to have some quality wins, but I think overall they're going to have a little bit of a struggle from here and there. And even though I think Kyle McCord at quarterback is probably a solid choice, Travion Henderson, a great wide receiver core led by Marvin Harrison Jr., probably the best wide receiver in this upcoming draft, if not the best upcoming player in this draft.
And they have the other guy, Emeka Egbuke or something like that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I think if he can, I'm pretty sure he can go into the draft this year too.
Correct.
I think they'll have two top 10 wide receivers this year.
Yeah. So I think at number
guys go top 10.
Yeah. So at number six, I have the Buckeyes.
All right. At number five for me, I have Penn State. I think they have a pretty tough schedule. but I think that they return a lot. I think they're going to be a very good team, a dangerous team in the Big Ten. Could potentially, beat Ohio State and end up in the Big Ten championship if they – because the Big Ten switched to no divisions this year also, didn't they? Nope. Mm-hmm. They'd have to beat Michigan too, but I could see them still, there's a chance that they could get up there. I think it's a three-way race between Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, and I'm excited to watch that that division very closely.
Yeah. So on to number five for me. I've made a little bit of a change, and we're going to just have fun with it. Number five, I have USC. Southern Cal, good team, great quarterback, in a good situation. Like I talked about with Utah, Southern Cal has some of their big games at home for Pac-12 play. But here's the big difference. They have to go on the road to Notre Dame and go to South Bend. That's where I think they pick up an L, and I think they could pick up another L somewhere else possibly. But I think that they lose to Notre Dame, and I think that that's what keeps them out of that playoff spot at number five.
Yeah, and just to be clear for me, when we were talking about USC and I said they could potentially lose all of those games, I don't think they'll lose five games. I meant that they could potentially – that like any of those games could have been a loss. I don't think they lose all of them by any means. I think USC wins two games at most. I mean, loses two games at most. I think 10-2 is probably the worst record they'll
come out with. I'd be happy if they only win two games.
Yeah. But I think 10-2 is probably like the lowest that they'll go. Maybe 9-3, but at 9-3 for USC, I would imagine somebody big got injured for them, or Caleb Williams misses a few games, something like that. So I think USC is definitely in the hunt for the playoff. But my number four team is LSU. They came off a very good season last year in Brian Kelly's first season. They beat Alabama. They went to the SEC championship. They did get curb stomped by Georgia, but I think they return a lot. They get a few transfers in, and I think LSU is going to be a very solid team this year. And once again, I think that's going to be an exciting matchup, LSU-FSU, first game of the season. That could potentially be a playoff game right there for us.
So at number four, I'm going to second your motion. I'm going to have LSU also at the number four spot. I think that the Tigers, they return a lot of production, and more importantly, they return a quarterback, something that a lot of SEC teams cannot say that they do. So I think that LSU gets that four spot. I think they get that final playoff spot. I do think they lose to possibly an Alabama or a – I don't know, name a team on that schedule, an Arkansas, an Ole Miss, an at Miss State. Like, you have games that you could lose, and I think that they lose one of them, but I still think they make it into that four spot. And it's possible what happens is that LSU loses to Alabama, then Alabama loses to Texas, and maybe Texas A&M, like I have them, they make the championship, and then Alabama gets that third loss, and LSU still only has one loss and gets it. That's kind of what I'm –
kind of go like ahead. With Bama a few years ago whenever they got in and didn't play in the SEC championship.
Correct, yeah.
And so, yeah, and that I'm glad you pointed that out about LSU returning a quarterback. Not only do they return a quarterback, they return a veteran quarterback, and that is key to success in college football, is returning a veteran quarterback who's good. And I think Jaden Daniels is potentially – I could see him in the Heisman race. I don't think he'll be a finalist, but I could see him finishing, top five, top seven in the Heisman if he has a great year.
Yeah. Number three.
And by the way, this top four is not how I think the playoff committee has them, because you'll see once we get to the end, I don't think that they're going to have them matched up like this. I just think these are the four best teams, and these is how I would rank them in order.
Well, here's the thing that I'll say. Never mind. I'll leave that till the end. But just think about at the end of this, think about the matchups that I have.
I know. At three, I have Michigan. I think Michigan, like we just talked about with LSU, returns a veteran and a very good quarterback, a guy who I also think could be in the running for Heisman, J.J. McCarthy. They also returned probably the best running back in the Big Ten, arguably the best running back in the country last year, and Blake Corum. They bring back a lot, and I think Michigan is going to be dangerous. And I'm excited to see what they do. I think they could pull off a few big wins this year, but I could also see them losing a few games also. It's going to depend on how Harbaugh coaches them. I think they have all the talent. I think the coaching is going to be what would end them up with a loss.
Yeah, and not only do they have Blake Corum, but they also have Donovan Edwards. They have a great running back duo.
I think they easily have the best running back room in the country.
Yeah, and I think that Notre Dame could have competed if Logan Diggs stayed with Audric Estime and Logan Diggs. But now that you have no Logan Diggs, it is a bad running back room. You just have an unproven Jadarian Price. So at number three, and this is where you call me a homer all you want, I really don't care. I'm going to have the Fighting Irish talking about experienced quarterbacks. Sam Hartman probably has the most experience out of any quarterback in all of college football this upcoming season.
He's up there with Jaden Daniels. It's one of those two, probably the most experienced on a Power 5 team.
The only other one, maybe if Bo Nix, maybe in his fifth year.
Maybe Bo Nix.
So, but either Bo Nix, Sam Hartman, Jaden Daniels, but one of those guys, probably one of the most experienced quarterbacks. Sam Hartman's going to have a much better team this upcoming season, better than anything he's had at Pitt, both defensively and offensively. His weapons on the outside are probably going to be less experienced, but they're going to also be more talented. And then offensive line-wise, he could take 5 seconds every play and still be fine. And running back-wise,
have a running game too.
Yeah, you have Audric Estime. You have Audric Estime, you have Jadarian Price, and not only that, but you have some other guys that are fill-in guys that could play. Chris Tyree made the transition to wide receiver, but he could take some snaps at running back. And like I said, the offensive line, Joe Alt, Blake Fisher, two of the best tackles, two top 10 picks possibly in next year's draft. So you're looking at a really dominant offensive line as well. So I think that this Notre Dame shot, this is more me kind of wish casting. It's May. We could still do that. But Notre Dame has a legitimate shot at going 11-1, which is where I have them. Having three teams like Clemson, USC, and Ohio State, that if you win two out of three of them, you should be in the playoff, to be honest. And
thing that sets up nicely about Notre Dame's schedule is their schedule is either going to kick them out of the playoff or it's going to have them in the playoff. Because if they can win two out of three, it puts the possibility that they lose three games at the least. But at the same time, if you win two out of three of those, then yeah, I agree. I think that you should be in the playoff. If you win two out of three of those games, especially if one of those is on the road at Clemson. Because a road win is obviously a lot better than a home win.
Correct. Yeah. So now moving on to number two, who do you have at number two?
At number two, I have Ohio State. They don't really have their quarterback situation figured out right now, but I think they have a great defense. And we already talked about their weapons that they have on the outside. I think they by far have the best wide receiver room in the country, and I don't think even close. It's not even close. They have two top 10 picks in Marvin Harrison and Emeka Egbuke, whatever his last name is.
Yeah.
Those two, I mean, one of those two is probably going to win the Biletnikoff.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't Marvin Harrison. I like
– Yeah, I would too.
But really, Marvin Harrison Jr., not only does he have the football IQ because of his father, but just talent-wise.
And they'll both finish top five wherever they finish. Top five in that award. Ohio State has the receivers. So I think no matter who that quarterback is, obviously it's Ohio State. They're going to have a talented quarterback. It's not going to be some scrub back there playing quarterback for them.
Oh, yeah.
But how well will he settle in? I could see Ohio State losing to Michigan or Penn State or somebody like that. But I do think that Ohio State is going to be right back where they were last year.
So question for you before I head on to my number two team. Do you think Ohio State has the worst quarterback out of the big three in the Big Ten East, Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State?
I would say as of right now, probably. But their advantage in the wide receiver category, I think, completely erases that gap because I think it's close between Ohio State and Penn State. Obviously, I think Michigan has the best in McCarthy. He's the most proven out of all of them. And so I think Michigan has the best, and it's close between Ohio State and Penn State. But I think Ohio State's huge margin in the wide receiver room kind of brings it even.
Yeah. So at number two, I have the Michigan Wolverines. I think Michigan goes undefeated. Like, I just don't see a reason why they would lose any of the games this year. Other than you have to go to Penn State. You have to play in that wideout environment. And that's the
one game I think Michigan loses if I have a loss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think that this year they've proven that they can beat Ohio State. And I have the same problem with Ryan Day that I did with Jim Harbaugh before Ryan Day came to town and Jim Harbaugh found out that he can't beat Urban Meyer, but he can beat Ryan Day. So
now it's been Ryan Day beat Jim Harbaugh.
Correct. Yeah. So here's the thing. I think that Michigan is going to rule the Big Ten East, and I think that they're not going to have much issue from the Big Ten West. I think Illinois would put up a fight like they did last year when they were at the Big House, but at the end of the day, I think that Michigan's going to win it. So at number two, I have Michigan, and at number one, we have none other than the two-time defending national champion Georgia Bulldogs, both of us.
That's just kind of one of those spots, like, they've won it 2 years in a row. You can't not put them at number one.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what you think of Carson Beck, they've won it 2 years in a row with Stetson Bennett. You can't not put them at number one. Obviously, they lose a lot of pieces on that defense, and they lose, I think, Blaylock transferred out to Georgia Tech, and I think they lost one more receiver this year, too.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think it was a starter, though, but – They still have the best receiving threat other than Marvin Harrison in the country and Brock Bowers. And they still have one of, if not the best defenses in the country. And the offensive line is very good. The running back room is very good. Carson Beck is really the only question mark on this team. And I think that no matter how bad he plays, this team, especially when you look at that schedule, will still win at least 10 or 11 games.
Yeah,
even if he's awful, they can still win 11 games, I think.
Yeah. Well, other than Tennessee and South Carolina, like, nobody has the literal talent. Like, it's like.
And I think South Carolina's a stretch and Tennessee's a question mark on
what they're going to be. Yeah. Neither one of them is a surefire.
Even when you look last year at how great Tennessee was, whenever they played Georgia, they just got physically dominated and were not even close to that game ever.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to wrap up to our one more thing that I do want to add. Like I said prior, the playoff matchups that I have, Georgia and LSU and Michigan and Notre Dame. Now, those would be awesome.
Mine were Georgia, LSU, and Ohio State, Michigan. And I think Georgia, LSU would have just played, and Ohio State, Michigan would have just played like 2 or 3 weeks prior. So I don't think that's how they would. I honestly think it would be LSU, Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia. I think they would want Ohio State, Georgia again.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, like Notre Dame and Michigan, that would be an awesome matchup because like TV ratings wise, you're looking at two of the biggest college football brands that isn't Alabama, Georgia, or Texas.
Yeah.
So you're looking at just an amazing rivalry matchup. And with LSU and Georgia, you just had that game. And to be honest, unless if it was a smackdown, and if it was, then you had the USC Trojans to get smacked down because let's be honest, it's not going to be pretty. If LSU's getting smacked around, USC ain't going to be anywhere near pretty.
Nowhere near.
So that's going to wrap up today's video. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button down below to all three of the channels. Also, make sure that you come back and check it out as we'll have college football podcast stuff all throughout the summer. So make sure that you check it out. That's all for the Football Expert and American Football Network. Till next time. See you guys.